الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمتي وبارك. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, O you who believe, if a wicked person, a sinful person, a degenerate person brings you some news, some report, verify its correctness, lest you harm people out of ignorance and then become remorseful over what you did. Over the next 3 weeks, we'll be exploring this ayah in the context of what has currently been unfolding in Syria. Malcolm X very famously was quoted to have said that the media's power is unparalleled. They are the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent. And that's power. Because they control the minds of the masses, they possess true power. Now we're going to be exploring the lies and the deception in the context of our Sharia and our Sunnah and the clear directives of the Quran. Now, when it comes to what has been unfolding, and especially the media blitzkrieg that we've been exposed to, the very same lie machine is telling the Syrian lie, as told you the Iraq and the Libyan lies. And we've been hearing about the mass slaughter and the government forces going from house to house, and I by no means am a supporter of the Assad government. But all of these are unverified. All we have is CNN, and the same BBC, and the same Sky News, lying to us as they lied to us before, and we've become echo chambers for those lies. So let's be clear. The reign of the Kharijite-inspired ISIS and Al-Qaeda terror in Halab has come to an end. The hostages of the city have been freed. And despite all the efforts of imperialism and the money of Zionist Jewry and the acolytes of that imperial agenda in the Arab world, it has been frustrated. Now the Syrian government, as we will discover, is justified according to the Sharia in its war on Bughat, on rebels against the state. Despite the horrific destruction, which you've seen not just in Halab, by the way, but all over the Middle East, Syria is just the flashpoint right now. But at the same time, the very same government has also offered amnesty for all Syrians, but not foreign mercenaries. And then we'll explore the Sharia as to where it stands vis-a-vis this position taken by the Syrian government, and then assess whether what they're doing is truly Islamic and conforming to the dictates of our Sharia or not. And what is obvious is that any country in the world is going to use counterinsurgency warfare to preserve its territorial integrity. If there's a foreign-sponsored rebellion on its soil, it will use all methods and means to quell that. And certainly this would be the case if Australia was to find itself with a seditious group being sponsored by, assuming, China, rebelling against central authority. Now, we need to focus on the true culprits. The Zionist regime in Tel Aviv is really the true orchestrator, the puppeteer behind the wars in the Middle East. They have been created consciously. This destabilization is deliberate. As part of something we've discussed before, the Yalon plan or the Oded Yinon plan. And what does that policy plan dictate? It calls for the balkanization of Israel's neighboring countries, Syria, Egypt, Iraq, and the like, Libya included. And this has to be fractured based along ethnic and sectarian lines. And these countries are then to be primed and softened, for want of better words, to make them more penetrable by empire and obviously large industry, and to make them less of a potential long and medium-term threat to Israel. Now the US empire, with its Zionist controllers, are destroying Syria, like they destroyed Iraq, like they've destroyed Libya. And these are acts of aggression. The biggest winner of all in this destabilization is Israel. Any detective called to a murder scene will first and foremost draw up a list of potential beneficiaries before he begins his investigation. As a consequence of a crime, someone has to benefit. And if we can identify who the beneficiaries are, we know in all likelihood who the perpetrator of that crime is. Muslims don't benefit in any way or form. Neither do the so-called Kharijite, call them Wahhabist, so-called jihadists. It's not jihad. The Sharia classifies it as rebellion against central governance. And it is amongst the kabair, the major sins in Islam, for which there is capital punishment according to the Sharia. So the Zionists have created these wars. And they've used their massive disproportionate influence in Western financial structures, but also in the mainstream media. And we have swallowed that yet again, hook, line, and sinker. So using these assets, the power of the purse, as Theodor Herzl said, the grave power of our purse, of wealth, and also noise, media, they've used these, and they've essentially taken over the West, including Australia. And they've stirred the West into this imaginary civilizational war against Islam. And particularly, this war against the Arab world, the Middle East. And they've destroyed and destabilized Arab countries, those that are bordering Israel. And they've distracted the world from the ongoing crimes and the diabolical plan of Israel. And it's important that, as Muslims, we continuously call the public's attention back to that. The propaganda associated with Aleppo is a distraction from this primary goal of the Zionist state. So like 9/11 was a public relations stunt by hardline Zionists in order to launch the war on Islam and the so-called war on terror. Now there's Muslims on behalf of Israel. This is pretty much the same. Now the question is, where do we stand as Muslims vis-a-vis these alarming and tragic events? We need to have a clear point of reference, because this certainly will not be the last time we are exposed to this deceptive propaganda. Well, it's good for us to go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, it is unequivocally stated in all the ahadith and in the books of fiqh and sharia throughout all these ages that it is haram for us as Muslims to violently rebel against a Muslim ruler, whether he be just or unjust. We are a religion of islah, of reformation. We are not a religion of inqilab, of rebellion and of sedition. That is part of the European secular experience, and it emerges in the French Revolution and in certain anarchist movements in Europe. It has nothing to do with our religion or our tradition. So we simply cannot violently rebel against any ruler, as long as we can practice the basic tenets of Islam in safety within that land. Anyone who knows anything about Syria, in spite of the criticism of the regime, will know that less than 15 years ago, there were 7,000 masajid, to the best of my recollection, established masajid in Syria. Within the first 5 to 7 years of Bashar, and I'm certainly no advocate of the Assad government, in fact, any Arab government, and you've heard me say that over and over from this member. But the fact of the matter is that in a very short period of time, the number increased to 20,000 masajid. 20,000 masajid. So, was there a hindrance on a Muslim practicing his faith? Certainly not. Muslims, rather, if they are unhappy about the conduct of their rulers, should be patient and encourage reform, islah, but never inqilab. And I will certainly quote to you more than adequate references from the statements of the Prophet ﷺ to this effect. So obedience to civil laws, whether you're in a Muslim country or whether you're in a non-Muslim country like Australia, is obligatory. It is part of that Aqdul Aman, that contract of security that we as Muslims enter into with the respective political authorities. As long as we are not compelled to forsake our faith or to commit acts that are openly impermissible. So for as long as there's no coercion and you're free to practice your faith, you have no mandate on the part of the Sharia to rebel against the respective authorities, Muslim or non-Muslim. If the rulers command us to commit shirk, for example, or they stubbornly persist in their oppression, then we have to either exercise sabr, as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in Mecca, or hijrah, or migrate. Those are the only two options. We cannot resort to violence, and we cannot resort to destabilizing the existing civil order. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. That, oh, you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger of Allah and obey those in authority amongst you. Now we'll see what the hadith, because the first point of reference when it comes to commenting and understanding and exemplifying these basic principles in the Quran is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu reports the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that as-sam' wa ta'a ala al-mar'i al-muslim fima habba wa kariha, that listening to and obeying your leader is an obligation upon every Muslim, whether he likes or dislikes the leader, whether he likes the circumstances he finds himself in or he despises it, whether he's justified or not. Obedience is absolute. مَا لَمْ يُؤْمَرْ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَإِذَا أَمَرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمْعَ وَلَا طَاعَ. For as long as he does not compel you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, that's physically force you, he can invite you to disobedience. But that obviously is a test of your moral integrity, whether you'll respond to that invitation or you'll reject it. But certainly if he compels you to commit shirk, to abandon your faith, to commit an act of injustice by being an instrument of the state in an act of injustice, then you cannot. But what is interesting, at no point did the Prophet of Allah say you can rebel. He said then you certainly do not have to comply. But rebellion, no. If anyone were to imply rebellion, this would be a bid'ah and a lie against the Prophet of Allah. Certainly non-compliance, conscientious objection. Muhammad Ali being the best example of conscientious objection when the American authorities attempted to compel him to participate in what was an unjust war in Vietnam, he conscientiously objected and was happy to settle in prison. In many other ahadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has forbidden us from rebelling against the designated rulers. If it's a Muslim country, for as long as they pray, they perform salah, and allow for your Islam to be practiced within their lands. We already did the bayan on takfir, on condemning other Muslims as kafir and denying their legitimacy within our faith. There's no need to go back to that. So violence that leads to civil war always results in a much worse situation than the unjust ruler or the unjust circumstances that the person found himself in prior to that rebellion. Iraq is the best example. Libya, another good example. So while an unjust ruler is an evil in itself, the violence required to overthrow him is even worse. لَا تَبْنَى الْقَصْرِ وَيَهْدِمُ مِصْرِ. Do not build a palace, but as a consequence, destroy the entire city. So Hudhayfa bin Yaman, radiallahu anhu, reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يَكُونُ بَعْدِ أَئِمَّةِ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهُدَايَ وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّةِ. The Prophet will acknowledge this would happen. We are not a utopian faith. We don't believe in some type of fantastical impossibility, an ideal. Muslims have always been distinguished by their real-world approach to real-world issues. So the Prophet of Allah makes it very clear that rulers after me will come who will not follow my guidance and then ignore my sunnah. وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَالٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي الْجُثْمَانِ الْإِنسِ. And indeed amongst those leaders, you will find some of them will have hearts like the hearts of devils, devils in a human body. So the Prophet of Allah is making it very clear, you'll have despotic rulers. So the Sahaba naturally asked the question, Ya Rasulullah, what do we do if we live to see that time? Upon which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Tasma' wa tuti'u al-amir. Those same devils, you should listen to them and obey them insofar as their prerogatives are concerned as heads of state. Certainly not in matters of doctrine or religious practice, but when it comes to their prerogatives as head of state, you bow your head. وَإِن تُدْرَبْ ذَهْرُكُمْ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكُمْ. Even if your backs are beaten and your wealth is confiscated, فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِعْ. The Prophet of Allah says again, obey and listen to them. We are an ummah of sabr as well as shukr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with just rulers and prosperity, and we express gratitude. When Allah imposes rigor upon us and tests our fortitude, we exercise sabr. Isma wa ati'. We listen, we obey, and we patiently endure. Auf bin Malik reported that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that khiyara a'immatikum alladhina tuhibbunahum wa yuhibbunakum. That no doubt the best of your rulers are those whom you love and they love you. And we've seen them, there are many. In fact, till today, we still find amongst them a few, no doubt, but amongst them a few who are like this. وَيُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَتُسَلُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ They are those who pray for you and you make dua for them, you pray for them as well. وَشِرَارُ أَئِمَّتِكُمْ الَّذِينَ تُبْغِدُونَهُمْ وَيُبْغِدُونَكُمْ And the worst of your rulers are those whom you hate and they hate you. وَتَلْعَنُونَهُمْ وَيَلْعَنُونَكُمْ And they are those whom you curse and they curse you. No doubt, you will have these people. But in spite of all of that, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever mandates rebellion. Certainly, this is a judgment to be made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a just recompense or punishment for those transgressors and tyrants in the year after, but not in this world. In order to maintain stability and civil or social cohesion, rebellion is not mandated under any circumstances. It was said by the Sahaba upon hearing this, O Prophet of Allah, so there will be amongst our rulers those whom we despise and hate, whom we curse. Shall we confront them with our swords? Again, the next question comes from the Sahaba upon hearing these predictions of the Prophet of Allah regarding less than admirable rulers. Shall we confront them with our swords? What does the Prophet of Allah say? La, no. You can hate them, they'll be the most wretched. Ma aqamu fikum as-salah, for as long as salah is established amongst them for you. Many of my own colleagues have studied in Damascus under the Assad regime. As despicable as the regime was, salah was never prohibited. The study of Islam certainly was not. The implementation of Islam, yes. You had to do it within your own private sphere. There would be some serious checks and balances. But under no circumstances did the great ulama of Sham ever mandate or legitimize rebellion against the state. Sheikh Abdul Fattah, Abu Ghudda being one of the best examples. One of the most preeminent scholars of the Sunni Maslak and the Hanafi Madhab, especially in the world. مَا أَقَوَمُ فِيكُمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مِنْ وُلَاتِكُمْ شَيْئًا تَكْرَهُونَهُ فَكْرَهُ عَمَلَهُ وَلَا تَنْزِعُ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَةٍ The Prophet of Allah has given us clear, unequivocal, unambiguous advice. It doesn't even need interpretation. So for these Zahiri Khawarij, it's strange that they miss these hadith. If you find something hateful from them, disobedience to Allah, degenerate, immorality, you should hate their actions, but never withdraw your hand from obedience. Never fracture the Jama'ah. So what else did the Prophet of Allah say? And if you want the narrations, all of these are from Sahih Muslim and Bukhari and Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud. For those of you who seem to feel that they're more confident in judging what is sahih or not. Salama radiallahu anha reported the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, Satakunu umara fata'rifuna wa tunkiruna faman arafa bari'a waman ankara salima walakin man radiya wa taba'a. In other words, there's a warning there. There will be rulers from whom you will see both goodness and corruption. One who recognizes their evil and hates it will maintain his innocence. So the example of Hajjaj bin Yusuf is one of the best. The Sahaba never, ever mandated rebellion against the Umayyad tyrant Hajjaj. Never. Hajjaj certainly was no kind, benevolent ruler. He was a tyrant. But still, amongst the Sahaba, they strictly adhered to these teachings of their beloved Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet of Allah say? One who recognizes the evil and hates it, will maintain his innocence. That's all that's required of you. Hate it, never ever condone it, condemn it. But one who is pleased with it and follows them, they will be sinful. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will definitely question you if you support and encourage and show solidarity with their wickedness. But at no point, again, does the Prophet of Allah mandate or validate or legitimize rebellion. So the Sahaba again asked the same question. Shall we fight them, O Prophet of Allah? La ma sanu. No, for as long as you can perform salah and they perform salah. Or they don't obstruct you in salah. Even if they don't perform salah, that's fine. But they shouldn't obstruct you. And I don't know of any masjid that's been shut down by the Assad regime, as much as we may despise them. So many of those who call for this violent rebellion, our Kharijite cretins, have resorted to the use of terrorism against, ultimately, who? Innocent civilians. To destabilize the governments that they hate. Who has been slaughtered in this war? Who has been slaughtered in Iraq? 4 million Iraqis. Libya, over 250,000, and it's conservative, 250,000. Syria, almost 500,000. So the Prophet ﷺ has forbidden this, it's haram. And he has severely warned against those who engage in this unlawful rebellion. They are bughat, they are rebels against the Muslim community, against the Ummah. And these are acts that are reckless, and they are distinguished by the indiscriminate violence. They have nothing to do with Islam, and they die meetat al-jahiliyyah, as the Prophet of Allah said. They die a death of the age of ignorance, not a death in the light of Islam. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet said, Man kharaja min at-ta'a wa faraqa al-jama'a fa mata mata meetatan jahiliyyah. That person who rejects obedience to the ruler and divides the community, divides the ummah, even though his call may be true. Certainly, the call of the Sahaba in their criticism of Hajjaj bin Yusuf was true. But at no point should they fracture the Jama'ah. And that's why the Ijma' of the Sahaba, of the companions of the Prophet of Allah, and of the Ummah subsequent, has been that we never fracture our own ranks. وَفَارَقَ الْجَمَاعَةَ, the Prophet said, and fractures our ranks. فَمَاتَ مَاتَتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. And they die the death of those of the age of ignorance. So we should not call them shuhada. This will be a bid'ah and a lie against the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should use the words that the Prophet of Allah used. They are people of jahiliyyah. وَمَنْ قَاتَلَ تَحْتَ رَايَةٍ عُمِّيَّةٍ يَغْدَبُ لِعَسَبَ أَوْ يَدْعُ إِلَى عَسَبَ أَوْ يَنْصُرُ عَسَبَ فَقُتِلَ فَقِتْلَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. And the person who fights under the banner of one who is blind, in other words, racism, tribalism, nationalism, raging for the sake of tribalism, calling to nationalism or tribalism, supporting tribalism. Our Saudis are the best example of this insanity. And he's killed, will have died the death of jahiliyyah, a pre-Islamic death, certainly not an Islamic death. وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي, and this is the most scathing indictment, the last part of this hadith. وَمَنْ خَرَجَ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي يَضْرِبُ بَرَّهَا وَفَاجِرَهَا, and this is exactly what's happening in the Muslim world. Whoever rebels against my ummah, you see, the Prophet of Allah doesn't say rebel against the tyrannical ruler, because that is a rebellion against my ummah, because they will be the ones that suffer the brunt of this violence. يَضْرِبُ بَرَّهَا وَفَاجِرَهَا, killing both the righteous and the wicked alike. Indiscriminate killing, indiscriminate slaughter. وَلَا يَتَحَاشَ مِن مُؤْمِنِهَا وَلَا يَفِيلْ إِذِي عَهْدٍ عَهْدًا فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَلَسْتُ مِنْ. Whoever rebels against my ummah, striking the righteous and the wicked alike, and sparing not even the believers, and does not fulfill the pledge of security, Aqdul Aman. When you become a citizen of a state, you enter into this pledge that the Prophet of Allah talked about. If you want to rebel against a state, you have to relinquish citizenship, declare a state of war, and then attack. Not like a coward and hypocritically attempt to cause sedition from within. At least have muruwa, have chivalry, be a man. Don't be a coward. So the Prophet of Allah says, you do not fulfill the pledge of security, the contract you have with the state, and that includes people living in Australia. The same applies. You are bound by the same contract. And then he attacks them. The Prophet of Allah said, he has nothing to do with me, and I certainly have nothing to do with him. And this will be a tragedy on the day of Qiyamah for those cretins. So our Salafu Salihin, if you want to talk about Salafi, we are the Salafi, not these Khawarij. Our Salafu Salihin recognized that the evil of Baghi, the Bughat, the rebels, is far worse than the evil of an unjust ruler. For this reason, they instructed sabr, patience, tahammul, fortitude, hikmah, wisdom in the face of injustice. In fact, our ulama and our akabir and our salafus salihin would pray for the ruler to be guided to righteousness, as the reform of the ruler really would benefit the entire society, but never to curse him, ma bu'ithtu la'anan, and never to rebel against him. So Hassan Basri, and we'll conclude with this, this will be over 2 weeks inshallah, Hassan Basri radiallahu anhu said that لو أن الناس إذا ابتلوا من قبل سلطانهم صبروا ما لبثوا أن يفرج عنهم وَلَكِنَّهُمْ يَجْزَعُونَ إِلَى السَّيْفِ وَيُوَكَّلُونَ إِلَيْهِ. If the people had patience when they are being tested by the unjust ruler, it will not be long before Allah will give them a way out. However, if they always rush to their swords, then they are left with their swords. And in the Bible, you find a similar reference. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. By Allah, not even for a single day did they bring any good as a consequence of rushing to the sword. Obviously, Hassan Basri is talking about the Khawarij of that time. That applies today just as much. There are many other quotations from Fudayl bin Iyad and Imam al-Nawawi and so many. Inshallah, we'll continue with that next week. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.